Good morning to all that are here. If you're not in the sanctuary, perhaps you could work your way in and sit as close to the front as possible. Or if you really want to sit alone, you could sit maybe only five seats back. I can try that. Anyway, let's begin our singing this morning with number 219. Ed will play the whole thing through with it has a special accompaniment, so he's going to maybe play that whole thing through once. We will sing it twice. It's one with a repeat. And why don't we stand, please, if we can. Turn to number 248. We'll sing all five verses of this because I was reading them and it makes it quite a nice poem that you really don't want to take any bits out of. So it came upon a midnight clear, one of those carols we haven't sung yet this year that I know of.
Touched and on some gold. Good morning, I'm Marika Mayer. Wow, I have to say that that one line, "Oh, hush the noise and cease your strife and hear the angels sing." Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful way to start the morning and the service. I'd like to welcome all of you. We are gathered here in community to worship God, to support each other in life's joys and sorrows, and to encourage each other towards faith and hope in a broken world. Whoever you are beloved by God, and you are welcome here. We acknowledge that we are meeting on land that was occupied when our ancestors arrived. Aboriginal land that has been inhabited by Indigenous peoples. We're grateful for the opportunity to meet here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. In particular, we acknowledge the ancestral territories of the Haudenosaunee, the Wyandot, and the Mississaugog, whose territory we are gathering today. By acknowledging this, we also make a commitment to reconciliation within our own reach. Do we have any visitors today, either here in the sanctuary or online?
We have one returnee, another Ugandan, Kobe. He attended here for a while, about 2 decades ago, and now he's back. He's our neighbor, and my honorary grandchildren here, and Mish, his wife, Ben, and Patrick, also called Pacho.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, welcome back. In that case, not welcome, but welcome back. We're delighted that you're here. I think we have somebody else there too. Harold over there.
Hi, I'm Erin. I'm Lisa Horrocks' and Bruce Pope's daughter, eldest. I'm here with my daughter for a time of reflection and just an hour of peace in my week. So thank you for having us. We'll try to be quiet.
Well, we'll see what we can do. And you know what? We are always happy to hear children here. It just means there's life in this community. I mean, the sound of children is so much better than the snoring of adults, is what I would say. Yes. So join me now for the call to worship, which should be on the screen shortly. Bob asked us to be patient today, and we can be endlessly patient today, can't we? Okay, there we go. In the wilderness, a voice cries out, "Prepare the way of the Lord."
We have heard the call and have watched for the light.
The one we waited for has come, a gentle dove, a vulnerable child.
We have seen the Christ child among the poor. We have heard the soft flutter of wings.
This is how God arrives among us, not in power and might, but in vulnerable love.
Your ways are not our ways, O God.
Come, let us worship the one who has come among us, the Lamb of God, the light of the world.
We stand in amazement. Christ has been revealed.
Join me now in prayer. God of mystery and revelation, you invite us not to trust our plans, but to watch in amazement as your plans unfold. Who would have believed the angel's song, trusted the shepherd's story? Like John in the wilderness, may we hold the news of Jesus Messiah with open hands, bearing witness to the one who is greater than us. As the Magi changed course, bowing to worship a king in a stable instead of in a palace, as the Spirit descended like a dove, we now abandon our plans at the manger. Give us hearts ready to follow, hands ready to serve, and voices ready to proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God." Amen. And now, for I think the last time this season, we're going to light the candle. We have the four Advent candles lit already, and Lila will come here to light the Christ candle to show that Christ has been born. And we have a reading here, which we can do as soon as you got it. Peter can help you if you have trouble. We will read, meanwhile. We have been waiting in the long dark night, waiting for your light of hope, peace, joy, and love to reveal itself and shine on us. Shine in us. May your light shine through the dark, illuminating your path, illuminating our souls.
For some, this is perhaps the most popular hymn for them, or Christmas carol, number 259, For Unto Us a Child is Born. Let's stand to do this one, please.
It's time now for giving with gratitude. There are many ways to give at TUMSE. So many give of their time and resources. I should say your time and your resources, your prayers and your imaginations. And we also give financially. And there are several ways to do that by sending an e-transfer to the treasurer at treasurer@tumse.ca, either as a one-time contribution or a regular one. Or you can leave a cash donation in the beautiful box. You can leave cash or a check there in the box at the back. Pray with me. God of extravagant mercy, with arms outstretched, you have poured out wonder and pleasure and delight, goodness and beauty and bounty. Take these offerings as our protest against all that is evil and ugly and impoverished, trivial and wretched and tyrannical in our world and in ourselves, that we too may be poured out for the world. Amen. And now I am so happy to see that there are children here, because I have prepared a children's story, and I would invite them to come up to the front, and I will tell it to you. Cool. Is this working? Yes, I think so. So did everyone have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Were you happy and excited and overjoyed and all those things and tired? Are you tired now? No. Oh, good. I'm glad you're not. Well, we are going to hear about, today we're going to hear about a special messenger that God used, and it's a bird. It's from the first chapter of John in the Bible, and we'll be hearing that in a little while. So I want you to close your eyes for a second. Okay. And I want you to imagine Jesus as a baby. Okay? Now you can open your eyes. Now, jump ahead a few years, and you have to picture him as a grown-up but still young man, like, maybe over there, one of those boys there. They're probably as old as you, right? Do you want to just stand up? So yes, you stand up. Yes, about that old, okay? So have you got that in your head? Okay, so that's the age that Jesus is in this story, okay? So today, we have something else in the trunk. Oh, a whole bunch. Okay, well, let's say at least 20 years, maybe more. Yeah, okay, a few. Okay, who wants to open this and see what's inside? How about you? Yep, like that. Yeah. Does anybody know what this is? It's a dove. You're absolutely right. That is a dove. Okay. So this is the kind of bird that is mentioned a lot in the Bible. Do you remember Noah's Ark? There's a dove in that. And you know, doves are really important to Mennonites too. We have one on our symbol, we have one at the door, there's doves everywhere. So doves are really important. Now, why do you think that is? Yes. Yep, because they're gentle. I think that's probably one really good reason. But there's another really, really important reason. And I'll tell you what it is. Now, I'm going to have the dove talk to you. Okay, so you have to imagine. I'm going to put the dove here. But you have to imagine that the dove is talking to you, okay? Hello, I'm the dove. I don't really have a name. But can you climb on my wings and I will take you for a ride, okay? Doesn't that wind in your face feel wonderful? Now look down. Do you see that long, winding blue thing that looks like a snake down there on the ground? What do you think it is? It is water. It's a river. It's called the Jordan River, in fact. Now, hang on. I'm going to swoop down, and I'm going to show you someone. Here we go. Do you see the guy in the river with the beard? He's wearing strange clothes. And his shirt is made of camel's hair, and he's wearing a leather belt around his waist. Do you know what his name is? It's not Jesus. His name is John. And sometimes he's known as John the Baptist because he baptized people in the river. And he's talking to someone. Here, I'll fly a little closer so you can hear. What's he saying? Who's he talking about? Hi? Jesus. Jesus. Yes, that's right. That's right. He keeps talking about Jesus. It is great that I'm giving you a ride so you can help me, you know. Now, let's fly over to that branch of the olive tree over there when it's quiet, and I'll tell you about a very special job that I have been given. Me. The other day, the Spirit of God whispered in my ear and said, "Hey, Dove, I need you. Today is the day." Okay, this is a really... Are my feathers clean? Are they clean? Do they look okay? Because I have a really important job to do. Okay. Okay. I can feel the Spirit of God in my wings, and it's helping me to fly faster and faster and faster down to the River Jordan. And there's that man, Jesus. And the Spirit is saying to me, Jesus will save the world. He loves you and you and all of you. He loves all of you. And I'm flying straight for him. The Spirit is whispering me to slow down. So I loop around, and now I'm landing on Jesus' shoulder. It feels so warm here in the sun and really comfortable. I'm going to stay and rest here. Now, you know what John the Baptist is saying right now about this me landing on Jesus' shoulder? Well, John the Baptist is saying, this is the Son of God. You're right. And isn't it amazing? So the Spirit of God was represented by the dove that came back, and then what happened was John went to tell all the people that the Spirit of God can be with us even when Jesus isn't there. And the dove showed John the Baptist who Jesus was and can remind us too. So when you see a bird like this, like a dove, you can think about that God lives and loves among us and represents God for us.
So I'd like to just say a short prayer with you. I want to thank you for Jesus, for the birth of Jesus, for all the time that we got to spend together as a family, and for the Spirit of God that that is being shown to the world. We don't have activity period today, so I invite you to go back to your seats and sit with your parents or whoever came with you. Thanks for coming.
If you have a book, you can turn to number 275 or look on the screen. A beautiful Star of Bethlehem. If you've ever can imagine a gospel Christmas carol, this is probably the one. So let's all stand if we can, please.
Time for a scripture reading now, and you got a clue in the children's story, but it's about. It is from John 1, 19 to 34. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but he confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me.
I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one."
Good morning. I'm Joel Clausen. So I'll be sharing a reflection this morning on how or where I have seen God this year. So I've sensed God in the small and in the still, in the spaces where the busyness of life abates, and in unexpected things. Complementarily, I sense God in family life. And I sense God in the ways people individually and communally, as a society, as we care for each other. We talk about the still, small voice of God. When I think of that image, I think of a few things. God, from the scriptures, God tells the persecuted Elijah to stand on the mountain. Wind, earthquakes, and fire storm by, and God is not in them, but in a still, small voice. Likewise, the boy Samuel hears a faint voice as he sleeps, and it takes him 3 times to realize that this small voice is God's. The still small voice is the image that comes to me as I think of what it means to care for each other as well, and more on that a little bit later. Today's scripture reference of the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus as he is baptized, I think, aligns in some ways to that still small voice. So, as perhaps many of us, I tend to want to keep my mind filled with activity of one kind or another. I rarely find God in those moments. This reflection, in part, is confession that I am part of that tendency, far too common in our time, of not leaving the space for God that I need to leave in order for me to sense the presence of God. So, having made that confession, despite all that, where have I seen God? Oh, can't hear me? Sorry, folks. Is that better? Okay. Thanks, Dee. DM, your apologies. I've begun a practice of reading scriptures many mornings. I'm reading Luke at the moment. One thing I like about it is how there are often parts that I don't quite remember clearly that give me pause. When Jesus stands up in his home congregation and reads the scripture about the release of captives, the healing of the blind, and the year of Jubilee, he is welcomed and lauded. Liberation, ending poverty. These are non-controversial. They're in fact welcomed. This is good news for the poor. But then he says to his home congregation, you aren't ready for this. This is where the famous line comes from. A prophet is without honor in his home country. They drive him out. What just happened? It looks to me like Jesus was goading his home community. So I'm not going to unpack this. That's not what I'm doing here. But it's an example. As I read through the scriptures, I sense something in this example that I don't quite get. What is going on here? And I find God in those kinds of spaces. Spaces where there are questions, and the questions point to something beyond what I can grasp. I intend to continue my scripture reading practice, and I expect to continue to encounter God in unexpected ways. I was quite sick a month and a half ago. It's actually lingering on even now as a residual fatigue. Today's pretty good. When I was ill, I read a book Haven had given me on the impact of India on the ancient world. I learned there what was for me an unexpected thing, the central role of the trade between Rome and India in the time of the late Roman Empire. What a sense of newness, a sense of amazement. I think God, for me, lurks in those spaces where my sense of the way things are isn't quite right. Where my world, in this case, the Roman world, which is the foundation of our Western civilization, one of the foundations, that world is decentered, and I see it suddenly become part of a much larger whole, which I hadn't been able to see. I find God also in family life. There's a lot that could be said there, but today is not the day I'm going to say a whole lot. Stillness. There's a kind of stillness I find in family life, despite, obviously, the constant busyness of it. There's a sense of orientation, a sense of direction. One sort of has a family, and then that sort of sets you off, and you're moving. Constant movement, and yet amid the movement, there can be a stillness and an encounter of God, encounter with God that comes from that clear direction that you are launched on. So it's kind of a paradox of stillness in motion. The last part I want to talk about is just the ways that I sense this stillness, the smallness of God in how people care for each other, and how our society cares. We care for each other through our society. There's just a small sense of what I call God when I think of, for example, the way we take care of each other through healthcare. Anyone, when it's working properly, we can talk about all the ways it doesn't work, but let's talk about how it works. Anyone, when it's working, has something really bad happen to them, and they don't have to worry about how they're going to pay for it. They just go get cared for, and, you know, God willing, they get better. There's just something tremendously powerful about that, that is the presence of God, I would say, I sense. You know, I yearn for the day, then perhaps we can have a system that does that for all things. People who have severe dental needs or mental health needs, they don't have that care at the moment. But when it works well, it is a place where God is present for us, I think. That's a function of Canada, I think, a function of settler Canada. It's a way that in Canada we care for each other. And I'm grateful for that, that I've been able to live my whole life in a time and a place where God is present like that. I just want to add, too, though, that given that, there's another place where I sense the divine. Indigenous people on Turtle Island have a long history and tradition of societies where caring for each other is very highly valued. In this theme of being amazed, I remember reading a long time ago a book by a Protestant minister in the 18th century. I can't quite remember the name of the book, or the name of the guy, so sorry, don't have that for you. But it was about the early wars after the English and French arrived in this part of the world. At the conclusion of the war, prisoners were to be returned to their home countries. And I remember being amazed and delighted to learn that several European soldiers refused to return to their homes, as they had come to prefer their lives with the Haudenosaunee, where they had started out as prisoners. They preferred that to the idea of returning to their military lives or returning to their homes. I would love to see settler Canada find its way to being more deeply influenced by Indigenous ways and values and thought. If we were to do that, we would, I believe, find ourselves much more attuned to God's presence among us. So I find this to be a very dark time. It's a hard time to hold on to some of these, the sense of the presence of God. I don't think I need to say much more about that. There's been stuff that we share in our services regularly. That, I think, layers on. For myself, I also find myself having a hard time maintaining hope regularly. And so I think that many things can come together to sort of cause that for me. And yet, as I think about that, I remember Jesus coming to the people of Israel, and the times that Jesus, that when Jesus came, was at least as challenging as the time that we are facing. And he spoke and acted boldly. Sometimes he spoke in ways that bring to mind more the storm than the stillness. And he spoke from that deep hope that moves through the whole history of the people of Israel. I find that hope and that voice and that spirit present to me when I see people calling each other to love God with all our might and similarly to care for each other. For the coming year, I pray that I may attune myself more to that vision and that I can be part of a people that attunes ourselves more to that vision. And I pray that we can become a people that loves more deeply and cares more deeply.
Please turn to number 371 if you have a book. Come, gracious Spirit. And let us stand if we can, please.
Good morning. My name is Jackie Schmuckert, and I'm going to share with you where I have seen God in 2025. Richard Rohr, the Catholic priest and author, writes, "God permits reality like a perfume permits a room. His words remind me that God is already present in our lives, even when we fail to notice. Reflecting on 2025, I find it difficult to point to just one or two moments of God's presence. Truly, I have felt God through the year in joy and sorrow, in struggle and healing, in growth and transformation, and most powerfully to the people and places that have shaped me. Yet, in 2025, certain experiences stood out, moments of hope, of love, comfort, and gratitude remind me deeply of God's nearness. I saw God during my month in Cuba at the Biblical Seminary of Matanzas, volunteering in the kitchen, teaching English, and leading activities for parents of children with disabilities. There were challenges, of course, but by walking along others, I learned the profound importance of sharing love and tenderness in very small ways. The experiences remind me that God's presence often shines through our willingness to serve. I also saw God in the blessing of my mother's improved health and in the gift of spending a month with her and my siblings, enjoying her wellness and our time together. Traveling with my husband Tim to Italy offered another glimpse of the divine. In the beauty of the landscapes, the enrichments of the culture, and the simple joy for sharing the journey, I felt gratitude swell in my heart in those moments. I sensed God's presence shining through the wonder and ordinary rhythms of life. Similarly, in Zurich, during the 500th anniversary celebration of the Anabaptist movement, I experienced God in community. People from many cultures and races gathered as a one, united in worship, silence, music, and nature. In that unity, I felt the Spirit very near. My in-person residency with the Chalene Institute, where I'm training to lead groups and contemplative spiritual practices, was another profound encounter. Through this program, I experienced healing from childhood traumas and renewed sense of restoration and joy. I felt the presence not only of God and the Spirit, but also from my ancestors. I was there that I commit to say yes to God by serving others longing to grow in a spiritual practice. I recognize that transformation is ongoing, yet I am ready to continue the journey. In my family, I saw God when one of my children, after a long time dealing with health issues, finally found an excellent specialist who helped him not only with the condition, but also to get the very expensive medication. I also have seen God in all my children and their partners and my grandchildren, in their commitment to one another, their authenticity, and their love and support. Here at Tonsi, I see God every Sunday in Lectio Divina, when someone opens their heart to the scriptures and shares what the Spirit is saying. During my moments of crisis this year, I felt God through your prayers, your wisdom, and your care. Most importantly, I finally feel that I fully belong here, and for that, I am very grateful. I have also seen God in painful places when a 30-year-long friendship ended. A And when an old unhealthy family patterns resurfaced, or resurfaced, I can't say that word, in my longing for healing, understanding, and restored through trust, I continue to sense God's inviting me towards hope, patience, and love. I see God in my own growth and transformation, in every challenge and blessing. I feel the divine guiding me. In every breath, I know God is present. Christ is in me. I am in Christ. Even when I do not feel it, I trust. I know that God abides in me, remains in me. As Psalms 139 remind us, where I can go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I rise on the wings of the morning, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. This psalm became especially real to me this year. I am slowly learning that God's presence is not something I must search for. It's woven in every part of life. Richard Rohr's words, God permeates reality like perfume permeates a room, helped me to understand this more clearly. And I now notice God's presence in quiet moments, challenges, and the ordinary rhythms of each day. Dear siblings, however you approach to God, through prayer, stillness, journaling, listening to music, walking, biking, daily chores, or simply pausing to take a deep breath, may you sense the Holy One already in your heart and surrounding you faithfully. So far this year, I have seen God in community, in healing, in a struggle, in love, and in quiet presence that never leaves us. In closing, I'd like to offer a prayer for all of us from the words of Paul in Ephesians. When I think of all of this, I kneel to pray to God, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that through God's unlimited resources, we are strengthened with inner power through the Spirit. Then Christ will be in our hearts as we trust in Him, rooted in God's love. We'll stay strong, and we might have the power to understand how wide, long, high, and deep God's love is. May we feel the love of Christ, even though it's beyond full understanding. Then we will be complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Rabbi Abraham Heschel says, never treat life casually. Why? Because to be spiritual is to be amazed. Shalom.
Oh, I just love it when a service feels just so whole. I thought that both Joel and Jackie gave their messages were so vulnerable and loving and profound. And DM's prayer reminded us that God can be found everywhere in our lives and that we should be open to God everywhere in our lives. I just appreciate this group of people, this congregation, and the wider world that we're in. And I appreciate the wisdom that I find every day in reflection. So thank you for both of you for being brave enough to share.
how God entered your life. I'm sure that all of us could spend the day thinking about how God was in our lives. And now I'd like to say that we have announcements. And I wondered if anybody would like to share any announcements with us.
Good morning. My name is Peter. I believe we have a Kaylee, yes, this afternoon at 2 p.m. Seeing nodding, great. Ahead of the Kaylee, I would appreciate help in clearing the chairs. I have a plan for this. If you are feeling able to clear some chairs and pick up some hymn books, please meet me at the front after the benediction. Great.
I have a couple of things to mention too. First of all, sadly, there's no coffee hour today because we didn't want to burden anyone with having to make it after the holidays. So if you need coffee, you'll have to find it elsewhere, I'm afraid. However, there's always time for gathering together to chat with each other in the lobby. As Peter said, there's a Kaylee this afternoon here, and what it involves is live music, dancing, so much fun. And I really hope that many of you will come and dance, get some exercise, have some laughs, and just really feel the Spirit of God in a different way. And there is also a young adult reunion right after it, between 4 and 8. So that is between 2 and 4, the Kaylee, and then the young adult reunion, so for kind of graduates of the youth program, is between 4 and 8. And just a couple of other things that are ahead. There's a parent-child dedication on Sunday, January the 11th, which is, we've been blessed with a number of births this year, and we'd like to celebrate that. And the other thing that I just wanted to mention is that at Silver Lake, there's a women's retreat on January 30th and February the 1st. I have gone for a couple of years. It is absolutely wonderful. I would invite all women who are able to go to it and enjoy it. And just so you know, there's also a men's retreat in September, so it's not like you're left out. Lots of stuff going on. Make sure that you look at the announcements that come out every Friday if you're not sure if you get them, or if you'd like to be added to the list, send a note to administrator@tumsey.ca. She, however, is away this week, so you might not get a response right away. But there's just lots going on, and we're so grateful for all of that. And now we have a final hymn.
Let us stand to sing number 265, Angels from the Realms of Glory, all four verses.
Oh.
not seeking your own way, but pointing always to Jesus. Go, watching for the Spirit, ready to recognize the gentle dove. And as you go, may God, who reaches down to touch the earth, fill you with peace and wonder, now and always. Amen.